Gently open your eyes. You know how much time we spent? Can you see the change? It's taken less than 70 seconds. Can you believe it? Imagine if you were to do this 70-second practice just before you start every meeting in your office. We have 70 seconds, yeah? Just 70 seconds. Sit back and try to reflect on what is the goal of this meeting. What do we want to get out of this meeting? And that's a very simple way of what we call it as centering yourself. Rather than just rushing into the meeting. Well, you can rush into the meeting, that's fine. But as soon as you get into the room, just sit there, all of you together, just for 70 seconds or even 60 seconds. And then begin. Try this for a month and drop me an email. We would love to know the difference these simple applied spirituality practices make. Okay? Good, so let's begin. Two things I wanted to before we start the session. Some of you have arrived yesterday and some of you have been asking a few more questions about the contributions and online transfer. So I'd invite Brother Samir to come and then explain us the process and a few announcements with respect to the transport also. Okay, so it's we are almost close to the retreat. We have another wonderful couple of sessions in the afternoon. How are you feeling so far? All good? Charged? Very good? All is well? Okay. Good to hear from you. Yes. Okay. Soul is pure, very nice. Okay, so for the next 60 or 65 minutes that we have, we are going to talk about something very interesting which we all keep doing. Now let me demonstrate what that is, okay? So you're not going to use your pens, you're not going to use your books for a change, and I want you to do an exercise, okay? Compute that mentally. I'll give you 2 minutes. No calculators, no mobiles. Okay. I don't want you to increase your pain or confusion. How many of you actually started doing the math? How many of your mind drifted off to something else? What is this question? Can this be done at all? It's too difficult. 9 into 8, 72, and then 2 here, 7 there. Whatever process you have just done in the past 20 or 25 seconds, is self-talk. You were talking to yourself. And this happens all the time. Even as I am speaking, even as Sister Shivani was speaking, as you were hearing, I'm using my words very carefully. Sometimes we don't listen, we only hear. Something else is going on. Mind drifts away, think something else, and then you come back. And especially in this kind of environment, if you close your eyes, somebody needs to wake up and say, okay, utho abhi. Okay? So all the while, whatever the thought process is going on, whatever conversations we are having, is what we call as self-talk. Lot of times we are not even aware of it. And we will see how this literally shapes our experience. It refers to the steady stream of ongoing thoughts or internal dialogue that goes on in our minds constantly. That's something very interesting. I also keep telling myself stories. Whatever story I tell myself about my own life and experiences is self-talk. It's that mind chatter that goes on just below the conscious thought. It is so continuous and so prevalent that we are not even aware of it. It's like our breathing. Only when you pay attention to it, you start noticing it. Same thing with self-talk. But we not understanding it, we not being able to get control over it is actually very bad. And you will see that why. And we will also explore how we can take charge of our own self-talk, our own thinking. Okay? And why is self-talk important? Why should I learn? I'm doing my talking since, you know, childhood. I'm all right, I'm fine, I'm moving ahead. Why should I know about what I am talking to myself? I thought only mad people talk to themselves. Why should I know about it? There's a reason. How many of you think that you can do better than what you're doing at whatever you're doing? All of us, yeah? Practically. And why do you think that we are not able to do, if we think we can do better, why aren't we doing it? Who's stopping us? We are all engineers, so it's summarized in a very simple equation. P is equal to P minus I. Any guess what those letters stand for? Very good. This is the potential. And this is our performance. And that I is the interference. And that's where self-talk comes in. When I tends to zero, P starts becoming equal to this capital P. If only I understand what goes on in this I and if I can reduce this from interfering, then I can increase my potential. Because that's where a lot of energy gets wasted. And our self-talk influences this I, moods, emotions, and ultimately our behavior. I'll demonstrate that for you as we move ahead. Any questions? What are the consequences of this self-talk? Why? As we saw, understanding self-talk is very important so that we can remove, we can harness it to our own improvement and growth. But what are the consequences? Negative self-talk leads to anxiety, distress, and thus stress. People do not get into depression just like that, even though we speak about depression, you know, quite often. Even Sister Shivani was referring to it. Depression does not happen in a day or two. It starts with you feeling helpless. Prolonged helplessness leads to hopelessness. And prolonged hopelessness is what leads to depression. And where do these things come from? From that negative self-talk. Mere se nahi hoga. Main kuch nahi kar sakti. It's impossible. Even before you say that, externally, you're saying it internally. I can't do this. And loss of self-confidence, loss of self-esteem. Next time when we join, we'll explore these concepts in a little more detail. This is one of the biggest problems at the workplace and even in the society today. Nobody feels confident about themselves because constantly we are comparing with somebody else. Constantly. That's the saddest part. That's how we are born and brought up in the society, right from childhood. And that impacts our self-esteem, our own image of ourselves a lot. And that's what leads even to failure. Because the minute you think that I cannot do this, even when there is energy, it's not channelized. You give up. That's it. But there's other way, the other side of the coin. You can always do this positive self-talk. I can do this. Yes, it's going to be a little difficult, but I'm game. Yes, I'm going to enjoy this time. Yes, I can give a talk like this. Yes, I'm confident I will qualify in the exam. This kind of positive self-talk has been found to enhance attention and motivation. And research shows that those athletes who give a little bit of pep talk to themselves just before the game, the chances of their succeeding are higher compared with those who are scared. And that comes from your self-talk. It helps us in managing stress and controlling emotions. It maximizes skill development. It promotes extremely important self-compassion. As people, as professionals, we seem to have forgotten that there is a person called myself who deserves my attention and love. It's very important. And positive self-talk enhances that self-compassion. I'll give you a simple example how I use self-talk. As a job, there are always things as a manager that I have to do which are boring. And I'll be honest. Writing documents, preparing reports, doing RCAs, the root cause analysis, trying to answer why certain things didn't happen the way they are supposed to happen to your superiors. It is. I mean, I don't enjoy, and I'm sure most of you won't. That's when I sit back and tell myself, Pala, this document is going to take 2 hours, which you have to sit and review and prepare. You better sit and do it. You're not doing for charity. You're getting paid. It's boring. Understood. But do it. That's it. And I tell myself, for next 2 hours, your attention is required. So you better sit here and do it. And trust me. This little bit of pep talk to myself that I give to myself removes all unnecessary anxiety, distress, and the resulting stress. Mujhe padha hai kya, this stupid thing. I don't know, where did I land up? I mean, why do I keep getting all this kind of stuff and boss always picks me up? Your choice. Your choice. And Shivani was talking about frequency and vibrations. This is how you create your frequency and vibrations. What story are you telling to yourself at every moment? That's what governs your mood, not somebody else outside. When it is positive, these are the benefits that we get. When it is negative, these are the consequences. And if you observe last 2 days and even in the next session that we are going to do, there is one theme that keeps recurring. Can you guess what that theme is? In all the conversations, thoughts, very good. What else? What else? What else? Think a little deeper. There's one theme that keeps running, whether in Suraj Bhai's class or what Sister Margaret did as a part of our session, what Shivani did. Man mera hai. Main man nahi. I am the master of my mind and I am creating my life. I have control over my life. Whether I know it or not, whether I accept it or not is a different thing. But I am in charge of my life. That's what keeps recurring if you observe. And the more we remind ourselves that I am in charge, I can create my future. It is in my hands. The easier or more beautiful the life becomes. Otherwise, we will always be pushed and pulled. We will only react. We will never act. And interesting part is self-talk even influences our decision-making based on our beliefs. In any given situation, how you decide depends on what kind of beliefs you have inside of you and what kind of experiences you carry and what kind of self-talk you are having with yourself. Karu, na karu. Jau, nahi jau. Should I apply the leave and go or should I skip the retreat? You made the decision and I hope it's turning out to be a really good decision. It all is about what you're talking to yourself. Yes. Yeah. Correct. Correct. So you're asking how?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Good. So now you'll be attentive. It's going to come. Simple question. I want one of you, anybody, can tell me what, when you think of Thomas Alva Edison's laboratory, what do you see? What comes to your mind? Go ahead. Go ahead. No. I'm just talking about the laboratory. You think of Thomas Alva Edison's laboratory, what comes in front of your mind? That's all I want. Chemistry lab with lots of pipes and everything, yeah? And the liquids. Okay. Mess everywhere. Super. Otherwise, he's not a scientist. Now, how does that laboratory look? Is it well lit? Is it dark? Is it small, big, neat, clean, dirty? Is he sitting in the middle of the room or in the corner? Dark room, corner, what else? Smoke coming out, fantastic. Shady appearance, scientist. What else? What else? Workbenches, yes, all over the failed stuff, completely disheveled, both in terms of appearance as well as the room. Agreed? People working around. What if I tell you that whatever you just shared is all wrong? It is wrong. Because he was an inventor entrepreneur. He would come up with an idea, have hundreds of other scientists or engineers who would experiment with it. Good tie, nicely tucked, have a very big table, very well-lit room. He was more like a typical CEO's cabin, his office would look like, not like what you just mentioned. Now, I'm sure none of you have seen that, yeah? But then when I ask the question, what made you give all those answers? Where did they come from? Where did those assumptions come from? That's what you read, or that's what you were told of typical scientists, and that's what you accepted, and that's what you're projecting. Because that became a part of your belief system, the definition of the scientist, this is how they are. And then when I ask about somebody else, you started projecting that onto that somebody or something which you don't even know. And nobody even said, I didn't say it, I don't know. And now you see how powerful our beliefs are, and how much they color. We wear those specs all the time. All the time. And the way we view the world is through those belief system. And the self-talk that we have is dependent on what kind of beliefs that we have grown inside. In yesterday's video, if you saw Robert Waldinger, he was mentioning when they interviewed millennials, the belief is, I should become rich. I should become famous. Because that's what they've been exposed to. And that's what drives them. This is what is observable, the results and behavior. What's invisible, emotions, how we feel, how we think, and most importantly, it's how we think is dependent on what we believe. Fascinating stuff. And we are not even aware of it. How are you doing? Every day in the morning, we greet each other. Fine. Damn it, I know I have to come again. I have to do this. That's what you're thinking. But when you're saying it, you're saying, I'm fine. That's what is observable. But what's not observable, what's invisible are these. And this we are not even aware of. And this is what we're going to spend a few minutes exploring. Because that is directly related to self-talk. That's directly related to the kind of vibrations we generate, the kind of frequency we create around ourselves. Because without understanding this, you will not be able to change the thought patterns. Okay? Beliefs form the bedrock on which the edifice of self-talk stands and sustains. Edifice means a building. Whatever you're telling yourself, even now, is dependent on the beliefs. If your belief or if your experience says you have tried and didn't work, bahut sun liya. Bahut sun liya. Acha hai, kaafi hai. That's what you're telling yourself. But if you have benefited and your belief is, yes, I can learn, yes, I can grow, then you say, interesting, wow, that's very good. Let me try it. Let me make a note. So what you're thinking is a direct, is directly related to what you believe. What are some of the irrational or limiting beliefs that we have? If someone says no to my request, it means they don't love or appreciate me. Happens especially in relationships and even at workplace. You're saying no to me? We don't even find out whether what the other person is going through, you know, whether they can do it or not. You said no, it means you don't love me. Cut if. And that's what causes a lot. But is this meaningful? Is it rational? But that's the irrational belief that causes so much pain. Because a no is automatically translated to a rejection. And it's happening automatically. Very interesting. The other person never meant that, but that's how you translated it to. Happens all the time in close relationships. You forgot my birthday? I'm your spouse for 15 years and you forgot? Something is happening. I know you. That love has come down. And if I have to tell you, come on, yaar, I've been his wife for 20 years now and he doesn't know what I want. Tell. No. You don't want to. They should read your mind. They should guess. Only then it is love. You see the irrational belief behind this, why it is irrational and why it causes so much unnecessary pain, which you could have asked, can you get me a cup of coffee? Every day I come exhausted. Can't she see it? That's me. So as a kid, and even while growing up, I never learned how to solve puzzles. That was in the past. And it was other classmates who were doing it very well. So this belief set inside my head that in terms of subject, I was a good student, topper all through, but always scared of puzzles because I never tried them. And the belief set in that I can never solve puzzles. So even during interviews, when I used to go for interviews, once I got my first job, I would tell them, don't ask your stupid puzzles. Ask my subject and project, I will explain. Because I didn't want to fail. That's the belief. And you see how my behavior was always based on a wrong belief. Because I said, I never tried puzzles, but I believed that I can never solve puzzles. Is it another irrational belief? Six pack, size zero. Yeah, it comes from this. It's again. Takes time, take a couple of minutes. Sit back and then try to list what are some such irrational beliefs that you have or limiting beliefs. Now, don't tell me you don't have. All of us have. The way to find out is this. Recall any painful experience from the past, any painful experience that's given you a lot of pain, and try to peel it off. Just get detached and then see what is the belief that led to so much of pain in that situation, even though it was such a small thing. Think about it. When the situation is small, but my reaction is disproportionate to that situation, there's always, always a limiting or an irrational belief involved. Very simple way to catch our irrational beliefs. Interesting. They're there, but we are not conscious of those. And there is the other side of the coin too. Positive beliefs. I can take up challenging tasks. There's a lot of opportunity out there. There's an interesting research done by some of Harvard researchers. What they wanted to do was check. Why is that the first generation immigrants are always more successful than the second generation immigrants? You know why? Because before they moved to US, obviously I'm referring to one country which is easier to relate to, they believed that there is an opportunity waiting for me. Even if I have to struggle, it's there for me. That belief made them, in spite of going through multiple failures, to succeed. But the second generation, when born and brought up there, they saw everything, what's there for me? Statistically, when you compare. So that belief made that huge difference. Every individual has potential to excel with proper guidance and training. That's a positive belief. If as a manager you believe, that's it. Whatever you learned in school is what it is. Any training that I give you, these fellows won't change. Why send them all the way to Mount Abu? Waste time here. Waste time and money. You cannot change. It's not possible. If that is your belief, then accordingly, you will run your organization. But if you believe every individual has potential to excel with proper guidance and training, you see how the organizational structure is centered around training and development. It all is driven from that one negative or positive belief. Another very strong belief, very positive. My past can be reviewed and rewritten. It cannot be changed, but I can review it. Bad patches are temporary. And similarly, what are your positive beliefs? All of us have. Easiest way to find out your positive belief? When was the last time when you faced a situation and you overcame it? There's a belief behind it. Yes? you review the stuff and whatever impact it is having on my present, I can always change it by reinterpreting. Rewriting is basically reinterpreting, because each time you recall your past, you're writing it in the present. But I can rewrite it. I can reinterpret it. These are very powerful beliefs. What is a belief? We have been talking about it a lot. Where does that belief get its power? What is a belief? What we store, yes. What else? Information, experience. Okay. Okay, but where does that belief get that power? Preconceived notion, okay. Good one. Reaffirmation. Okay. Okay. That's what is giving its power. I don't question them. How they are formed, we will explore that. But they're there. And then I never questioned. Like what Sister Shivani keeps saying, until we came here, we said, anger is natural. You get angry, you yell at. Yell at your people, because that's how you get things done. That was a belief. We never questioned it. We accepted it, that something is true or real. It's this that gives this belief its power. For me, it's truth. And how do beliefs form? One psychologist says, by the time we are 18, we would have gone through 25,000 hours of conditioning since childhood. Do this, don't do this. Dress like this, don't dress like this. Say this, don't say this. Read this, don't read this. This is good, that is bad. 25,000 hours of conditioning. Personal experiences which give rise to the beliefs. Very important. What we hear from those we trust. Because we simply accept it and say, this is real, this is true. We never question. They are our invisible cognitive filters. Whatever information is coming to us, it is not getting inside just like that. It is being filtered without my knowledge through my belief system, through my set of beliefs. That's why if something doesn't fit it with my belief, I reject it. Another fascinating stuff. Beliefs modulate our experience. They just change it without even our knowledge. And that's the key takeaway. There's a situation, and there are some facts in that situation. Yes or no? And there is a story I tell myself about that situation. And the story I tell myself depends on my beliefs. And my experience is governed purely by the story I tell myself, not by the situation, because situation is always external. If I change my story, how I perceive the situation also changes. And I get that control back. And that's where that self-talk becomes so important. At every minute, you're telling a story to yourself. What a wonderful place Brahmakumaris have. It's so peaceful. Well, that's the story you're telling yourself. And that's what is governing your experience. But if you are given to somebody who's always complaining, fan theek hai yaar, AC nahi tha room mein. Sometimes we felt, you know, little uncomfortable. AC hota to aur achha hota. Because that's what you're telling yourself. And then as a result, whatever you're getting is not going inside because it's already getting filtered with the story you're telling yourself. So there is a situation, there are certain facts in the situation, and there is a story I'm telling myself. And that depends on my beliefs. My beliefs guide my self-talk, and my self-talk reinforces my beliefs. That's what matters. And we'll explore it a little more. How do we deal with these negative thoughts, these thoughts that come out of this whatever internal negative beliefs that we have formed? The first one is becoming aware of those unconscious thought patterns. Detect. Very important. Detect. That's the first step. Become aware. And there are many thinking traps we fall into constantly. Let me give you just one example. Performance review season for all of you, like in our company. It's going on? Yeah? So your cabin, your office is just outside your CEO's office. You have been working for the same company and the same boss for 5 years. So every day before he walks in, he smiles at you. And that's been a ritual. Today, he didn't smile. He was in a hurry. He just walked in. Performance review season. Somewhere you heard through the grapevine that they're going to start firing people because the company is not doing well. It's not yet public knowledge, but that's what you heard. Now, 5 years, everyday smile, performance review, no smile, people getting fired. Connect the dots. And then your heart starts pounding faster, your BP increases. And it's interesting how the mind works. Usually people say there are only two things that are permanent that you cannot deny for any professional. One is death, the other one is taxes. And I think I've added the third one, EMI. So suddenly you start thinking, who will pay my EMI? What will happen to my kids' fees? Where will I go? This is rented. Can I go to my parents? Will they look after me? So what was the fact in the situation? CEO did not smile. What is the story you're telling yourself? And then you start perspiring and then you get a call and he says, can you come in? Bala, can you come in? I say, really? You know, I'm already half gone. So I stand in front of him and then he says, you know, congratulations. The project that you took up succeeded beyond our expectations. So you're going to get a bonus. Where did this experience come from? From the story I'm telling myself. And where did that come from? Because of the thinking trap that I fell into. And what was the thinking trap? It's called catastrophizing. It's called jumping to conclusion. Yet another thinking trap. There's another thinking trap called maximizing. My kid did not do well in his math exam. That's it. One exam, he didn't do well. So if I fall into another thinking trap of maximizing, what I do is, I will start from my kid not doing well in math exam and then take a leap. Say that I didn't train my kid well. Why didn't I train my kid well? Because I am a bad mother. In less than 10 seconds, from your kid not doing well in math became you not being a good mother at all. My goodness. That's how we tend to maximize things. And there is also opposite minimizing. You did such a big blunder. It caused so much loss to the client. Chodo yaar. Mistakes hote rehte hain. Choti mistake. Come on, don't make it big. You also tend to minimize. Then you will never take the lesson. So these are all catastrophizing, jumping to conclusions, maximizing, minimizing. These are all thinking traps. And without our knowledge, we keep stumbling into one trap or the other. And based on this, we keep telling the kind of stories that we tell ourselves. So that's why the first step, if you want to deal with negative thoughts, is detect. Did I fall into any thinking trap? You're interested in knowing a list of these thinking traps, you can search on Google, you'll get a lot more. If you can't, drop us an email and we'll share with you. Disrupt. It's going to be tough, but we can do it. Disrupt. Stop the thought. Because it's not true. You should always question, what is the data in the situation and what is the story I'm telling myself? Do they correspond or am I creating my story? That's the best way to disrupt the thought. Because most of this negativity comes from the story, not from the facts. Dispute. Reframe it. He must be exhausted. Or he might not be in a good mood today. Or he might have plain simply forgotten. What's wrong? In the break, I will always ask him, sir, every day you used to smile, can you smile again, please? Problem solved. There's a way to, you can reframe using counter-arguments. And that's how you do by disputing that negativity. And then you design the new thoughts. You change the story you're saying. If you want to change the frequency of your thoughts and in any given situation, these are the four steps. Detect, become aware, disrupt, dispute, provide the data, because we are rational beings, and then design. Yes, yes, yeah. Because, for example, when you are going to dispute, what was the first story that you started telling yourself in this example? I might get fired. Right? That's the story you're telling. How do you dispute that? What is the data? Yes, Bala, you're tensed up, yes, but do you have any data? The last project that you did extremely well. You didn't do up any screw-ups. So why are you thinking like that? Why can't you go approach and then speak? So you dispute. And that will lessen the power of those negative thoughts. Yeah? 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 In any given situation, even when you haven't succeeded, check and observe what kind of trap you are falling into. That's where your esteem and your self-image gets battered. One failure, you're gone. Dispute that. Is this one failure? Is it life? One loss? Am I gone? Dispute that. That's what we learn here. That's where you start with a totally different belief system. You don't have to become beautiful. You are already beautiful. Start displaying those. See the huge difference it makes. We don't strive to become better. You're already better. Start displaying it. Yes. Yes. Positive self-talk is equal to self-counseling. Works? Okay. How does self-talk impact our brain? Any questions until now? Interesting? You don't have to remember anything, but just know that self-talk does impact the brain. There are two very important components. Amygdala forms a part of our emotional brain. When we get angry, sad, really happy, this is the area that gets activated, amygdala. And this is the prefrontal cortex, this part, that actually helps us make rational thoughts, analyzing, planning, visualizing, abstract thinking, all comes from this part of the brain. Anterior cingulate cortex is in between the emotional center and the prefrontal cortex, the limbic system and the frontal region. This acts as a fulcrum between these two, this part of the brain. It's like a valve. When you are relaxed, that's why we keep saying, first step is always relax. Relax, calm down. When you calm down, this part of your brain becomes active. That is, this valve will open up so that the blood flow goes to prefrontal cortex. And then you are in a better position to make better decisions. But when you are scared, when you are afraid, what happens? When you are angry, this one redirects the blood flow to your emotional part. So your rational thinking goes out of the window. We'll explore that. And it has been found that meditation and positive self-talk strengthen the frontal anterior cingulate circuit. That is, this part gets strengthened with your positive self-talk. And literally, new neurons grow inside your brain. We keep talking about 2 minute silence, 3 minute silence, 5 minute silence. Silence has been shown through research to give rise to new neuronal growth inside the brain. Fascinating stuff. And the key quality or the key virtue that is going to help us transform our self-talk and change the frequency and vibration around us is this. Non-judgmental awareness. Let's explore this a little more because this is very closely related to our self-talk. If you observe your self-talk, if you just sit back and observe, a lot of it is judgmental. Lot of it. I would say all of it. We constantly keep judging ourselves and others, mostly ourselves. And we keep whacking ourselves black and blue. That's the chatter that keeps going on. And three things: attachment, detachment, and dissociation. What we need to develop is detachment, not attachment or dissociation. Let me demonstrate that. Can I have a volunteer, please? Please come. Get your book and come. Yeah, come along. Come here. Yeah, you can stand here. Go ahead. Come, come, come. Yes. Can you open your book, any page where there's some text? Yeah, you can read this.
The subjective experience of feeling.
Okay. Keep reading.
Feeling close to and sense of belongingness with others.
Yeah, read now.
Read.
Read. Now. Can you hold this, brother? Go back. Can you read that? No, this one. Very clever. Come. Now can you read? What is the difference? What is the difference? Right distance. Okay, what else? If it is too close, why didn't he read? What is that distance doing? If distance is important, I gave him more distance. He should have read it even better. Good one. What is being changed with distance? What in vision? Clarity. When it was too close, no clarity. When it was too far, no clarity. When it is at the appropriate distance, this distance is important. Appropriate distance is when you get the clarity. Now, this is attachment. That is dissociation. And this is detachment. He is still holding it. It is still your baby. It's still your monkey. It's still your problem. What is being asked is detach. Create that space. Don't get worked up. And when you detach, the clarity improves. Then you are in a better position to start making decisions. Mera kya hoga? What next? What tomorrow? That's it. That's it. Meri saas aur mujhe. That's it. You're so attached, there's no clarity. And then your ability to think clearly goes out of the window. Yes? Thank you very much. Clap, please. Thank you. So somebody was asking, how do you define spirituality yesterday? Very good question. Spirituality teaches you to develop this art of detachment. All the energy, all the strength that you're getting is because of you developing that non-judgmental awareness, of you being able to voluntarily detach and then observe. Detachment, again, is not dissociation. He didn't throw his book away. The book was still in his hands, but it created that space. Very important. Next time when you are in any situation, ask, how can I create that space? And that's where those four D's help. When I use those four D's, I'm able to increase that distance. And when that distance increases, when there is appropriate distance, the situation starts coming under control miraculously. Try it. Normal times, this is how the brain looks. And when you are emotional, if you see this, there's no blood flow to your prefrontal cortex. Your ability to rationally think goes out of the window. That's why it is said, the age-old wisdom. When you are stressed, when you are angry, when you are really upset, this is what happens. That's why it is said, when you are angry, don't respond. When you are sad, don't decide. This is age-old wisdom. And the last one, when you are happy, don't promise. Be careful. When you're happy, don't promise. Okay? And how to change our beliefs and does our self-talk. You play that? Now, let me show you a small clip. Just watch this. What are the key lessons? What changed? One is perception, one is vision. Angle means? Angle of seeing things. What is that called? Point of view, yeah? My perspective changed. When my perspective changed, my perception changed. Reality is exactly the same. But when my perspective changed, which is again governed by my belief system, my perception changed. And whether you agree it or not, my perception is my reality. Period. My perception is my reality. Pop music is fantastic. Junk, I don't like it. You don't like it, but my perception is it's fantastic. So my perception is my reality. And my perception is governed by my perspective. If I want to change my experience, if I want to change my perception, I can do that by changing my perspective. That's exactly what you are taught to do here in Brahma Kumaris. Let's explore a little more. And this is very tricky one. Sit back, read it even two times, three times. You able to see that? Okay, good. Yes. I always modulate my behavior based on what I think you are thinking about me. This is called as looking glass self. This is what I think. In reality, whether they're doing it or not, I don't know. This is what I think my dad and mom see me. And this is how I think my current girlfriend sees me. And this is how my older brother sees me, and this is how my ex-girlfriend sees me. Whether they're doing it or not, I don't know, but that's what I think. And then my response is always governed by what I think you think about me. Very tricky how minds work, huh? My perception is my reality, irrespective of reality. And when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Think about it. Simple, but very, very profound. Now let me demonstrate that. What are you seeing in this picture? What are you seeing in this picture? Go ahead. What is this? Bird. What else? Fish. What else? Clear? Any doubts? Everybody is able to see all those? Very good. What are you seeing now? Okay. Okay. What are these now? What is this now? Now, did I change the picture? Did I Photoshop it? Was there a fish there here? Was there a fish there here? Were there trees here? Is there a bird here? Yes or no? When I change the way I look at things I look at change. Until yesterday, I thought I was lousy, I am horrible, I am good for nothing, idiot, fit for nothing. But after coming here, I changed the perspective. I said, I am beautiful, I am virtuous, I am work in progress, I am potentially divine. When I change the way I look at things, the things I look at start changing. Then I will start looking at myself in a different way. Then I start talking to myself in a different way. The default, what comes is negative. The self-talk, oh my God, it's the same project again. Last time I goofed up. So this time, I'm sure I'll fail again. Someone or something is making me feel depressed, utterly miserable. My feelings and behavior today will continue to be strongly influenced by what happened to me in the past. Because I can't change my past, so that is what will keep governing. But if you change that, when you change the way you look at things, just because I failed last time doesn't mean I will fail again. Let me try again. So how you're replacing the negative self-talk with something positive. You are in control of your life. Past only influences the present as long as I allow myself, I allow the past to influence me. We are coming to the end. I'll need about 7 to 8 more minutes. Are you okay? Thank you. This meditation word comes from Latin meditatio. What it means is to think, to contemplate, to ponder. In simple terms, to reflect. And how does meditation help enhance our self-talk? It is self-reflection in a... Yeah. And it is ability to talk to oneself with... If you sit back, keep yelling at yourself, shouting at yourself, that's not meditation, please. We don't call that meditation. Meditation means ability to talk to oneself with love. Meditation is viewing oneself as a bundle of virtues. I'm capable. I can work hard. And meditation is not merely a relaxation technique. It is a way of being and of seeing, resting on a foundation of deep inquiry into the nature of self as a bundle of virtues and offering the potential for liberation. I love this phrase, small-mindedness of self-preoccupation. It's a little long, but very, very meaningful. Because meditation helps you to move beyond. You relax, you reflect, and you move beyond. Suddenly, your perspective changes. because it's become much bigger. You are looking at yourself in the context of this universe as somebody who can drive it, not as somebody who is driven. And that small-mindedness is one of the main reasons for almost all the mental illnesses. Why is this self-talk important? Because of this negative self-talk, that is the root of almost all mental ill health. It all starts with a negative thought. You repeat it, and then it becomes a belief, and then you start becoming weak. And how does it transform? It helps you to peel off the layers of unproductive and untrue conditioning. I'm tall, so I'm not handsome. Sit down. How is tall related to being handsome? Peel off that untrue and unproductive conditioning. Helps you realize your true worth through the practice of self-compassion. More empowering conversations with yourself. That's important. Keep checking yourself. How many times on a daily basis you have an empowering conversation with yourself? Even though that's what we are told. I can feel good myself. I don't have to feel better than others. And for many of you are coming from different organizations, if you have power to influence, this is a self-reflection room that was created in Volkswagen Pune office last year. It's operational, and they've got some really good feedback about helping employees to transform their self-talk and then reflective in a positive manner by sitting in this space. The HR head there, Ms. Anu Sethi, she tells me that in this 1 year, once you enter the room, you can start actually feeling a different set of vibrations. And if it is possible in your respective organizations of creating this small space, I would strongly encourage you start doing it. And this is a picture we placed there. And what does it mean? The dot in the center signifies the essence of what that we are trying to get into. We need to peel off the layers around the essence through silent and non-judgmental reflection. That's what that picture here is encouraging you to do. And then, when you sit in front of this pic, you are encouraged to focus on essence by gently moving inwards, understanding the real issue by letting go of your anxiety, self-interest, insecurity, and plain ego. That's where new solutions will come. That's where creative thing comes. And we also give them these reflective inquiry questions. They're given a sheet. Any situation that you're trying to grapple with in your workplace, sit in this space just for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Start asking yourself these simple questions. What are the facts? What is the story? Do I realize most of my anxiety and fear is because of the story? Can I look at the situation? This is the best that I like. From the other person's perspective, even if that other person is organization. Can I sit and reflect? Now there is a space. If you would like to create that, we can help you. Because I think to reduce the workplace stress, to make people emotionally stronger and reduce the mental health related issues in organizations, these kind of spaces are needed. And I'm glad that the German embassy has actually agreed and then they have even made it operational. So you already have an example. If you want to approach your management, they will say, is anybody else doing it? First question that gets asked, yeah? Is this religion? Is this secular? You have all the answers from the German MNC. Okay? And yes, that brings us to the end. There's a lot more, but I thought these are good thoughts for you to take up and then start observing your own self-talk. Thank you. Any questions? Sorry? This leadership 2.0, the plan is to have every year, yes? Yeah, during August and September, because what happens is we have these 20 wings, and each wing would like to bring in their respective professionals and do the program. So we are given certain dates. That's the reason why even this week, we couldn't move it to the previous weekend, including the August 15th, because we have some constraints when 20 wings need to be accommodated, because the last weekend was given to some other wing. That's why. Yes. How do you think you can remember? Yes. What else? Reinforcing is one. Second? Very good. What else? What else? Monitoring my thoughts. It's very useful, as what Sister Shivani was suggesting. Make a simple, take an A4 size sheet or even an A5 size sheet. Write down just three thoughts. Just three thoughts. Stick it on the place where you stare at it the most. I know, other than the mobile I'm talking about. Okay, if you can make that into a wallpaper, that's fine. Just three thoughts which keep pulling you back to this environment and these kind of thoughts and conversations. Unless we are little disciplined and we repeat a few things, it will not become a part of ourselves. It does require a little bit of discipline. And that little bit of effort, we are going to have nice conversations in the afternoon around, we are going to go out, pick up our rock, sit there, do meditation under the nature and have some beautiful conversations. So you can start creating those. Just three things which will bring you back here as soon as you read it. Or we have the recording on YouTube. Easier. All these sessions are being recorded and uploaded on YouTube. We'll share the URLs. It's easier. You can download it from YouTube. Why complicate the life? Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Most welcome. And another simple thing, we gave you a booklet. Each one of you has a booklet. Just put that on the table. That's it. As simple as that. No complication. Immediately, your thoughts go back. Very easy. Yes, sir. See, I don't want you to play with the words. I want you to take the essence. When we are talking about attachment, it is about we not having that clarity. As I said, he was still holding the book. Most of the times, these words, we tend to misunderstand. Attachment is something that is going to cloud your thinking. You are so attached to something, your own belief system, you are not even willing to move away and explore it. I was talking about that attachment. What you are talking about is a stronger association with Brahma Kumaris. You don't have to be attached with Brahma Kumaris. Being associated with them. I'm not attached to Brahma Kumaris. I'm associated with them for the last 25 years. Right? So there's a difference. Any kind of attachment is bad because attachment can only breed sorrow. It can masquerade as love, as Sister Shivani was saying. You fall sick, I fall sick. That's how we call it as love, but that's not. Yes. You just mentioned it. We are connecting. And the beauty is, this is what I keep thinking about, if you have another couple of more minutes. If I think I am body, that's the belief system we usually come from. You can stick anything to this body, yes or no? You can stick something to this body, right? So whenever I am in body consciousness, so many things come and stick to me. I am jealous, I am bad, I feel angry. But when I become a point of light, when I detach, can you stick something to point of light? It just goes away. Absolutely. We saw that. As soon as it comes, if you are aware with practice, you can stop it. You can stop it from that negative thought becoming a feeling. There's a gap. Quite often, we don't give importance to this gap, but there is a gap. A thought automatically does not translate into a feeling. Thought plus acceptance is equal to feeling. Another equation you can write down for yourself and churn on this, reflect on this. One of you stood up and said, Bala, this is the lousiest lecture I've ever heard. All crap. That's your opinion. There is a thought. If I accept it, I start feeling bad. But if I don't add acceptance, there is no feeling. That's your opinion. Thank you very much. And all the crap you took for 1 hour, 50, 30 minutes, fantastic. Then it must have been some good crap. So there is a thought, and before I accept, if I can stop it there and look at it as a thought, because that is a fact, I'm not adding my story, then it won't become my feeling. Make sense? Yes. The last one, so I won't take more of your time. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So if I didn't get your question, can you please come here or I'll come there? Still didn't get it. Can you repeat that? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. You can write it down. You can speak more loudly. Absolutely fine. Especially in Japan, they do have these shout chambers. It's truth. They have glass chambers and it's all soundproof. When you get upset with your colleague or with your boss, you can go inside, shout your hearts out. You can yell, you can do whatever you want. Nobody hears. And then if you feel good with that, you walk out. Absolutely. You can also write down, and that's writing is a very good quality. Write it down. Nothing wrong with it. And then if you have a very good friend in whom you can confide and they are not going to judge you, because that's what we are scared of, if they're not going to judge you, they can be an excellent sounding board for you to bounce off your thoughts. Sorry? Yeah. No. As long as you are maintaining that distance, you write it, and after you write, what you're going to do that to that paper, symbolically, if you're going to tear it into pieces, into shreds, or burn it, it is sending a very strong visual signal to your mind. If you're going to stack it, that's not good. It's at least clarifying things for you. Okay? All set? So we'll just take 2 more minutes. And this time what I want you to do is just observe your thoughts. Just sit back and observe. I'm not going to give you any extra thoughts. And see where your mind is going. Don't try to force it. Why are you going there? You come here, nothing. Just observe.